and welcome to the Forbes India Tech for Sustainable Future series powered by Capgemini. With the Internet of Things making a splash a few years ago, jargons like smart factory and industry 4.0 became quite common. They do have merit if done right. However, without getting the relevant design right, these technology platforms are just that, merely platforms. In that light, let's hear from Anant Chandramouli, Managing Director, India Market, Capgemini, who's here to talk about intelligent industry. Hi, Anant. Welcome to the podcast.
Hello, Abhishek. Glad to be here today.
Thanks, Anant. Could you help us decode yet another piece of tech jargon called intelligent industry that you have picked as a topic to talk about? How is it different from smart factory and industry 4.0?
In simple words, intelligent industry is a broader canvas in which smart factory is a component or a subset. If you work backwards in the value chain, let us start with the end consumer. The buying behavior of the end consumer or an enterprise has completely changed. You and I want solutions to our problems and not products to be sold to. So what does this mean to the manufacturing enterprises? It means a move from mass manufacturing to mass customization. So I'll give you a couple of simple examples. Today, farmers want harvesting as a service, not harvester as an equipment. People want mobility as a service, you know, especially urban mobility, and not buy vehicles. People want tastefully done homes, not to be sold paints. And this is what we call as the servitization paradigm. So in a nutshell, every enterprise in the manufacturing world is forced to embrace servitization, which is evolving from being a product seller to a solution provider to their customers or end consumers. And this is what intelligent industry is all about. We can double click on this as we go forward, Abhishek.
Right. So in other words, it sits above these applications called smart factory and industry 4.0. You're talking about it being a philosophy of sorts where intelligent industry is about, you said, not peddling products, but offering solutions, which also means that you have to be that much personalized because every customer is different from the other. So how is it in today's context? Why intelligent industry now?
Before that, I'll give you a couple of anecdotes again, right? You know, we have seen Dell selling customized laptops a couple of decades back, where we could choose configurations like chipset, memory, etc. Scale that to a truck. Capgemini has been working with one of the largest truck manufacturers in the globe on their modular business program, which in a nutshell is to enable them to achieve what we call as a design to build integration. What this means ultimately is to offer complete flexibility for the buyer to pick and choose the vehicle configuration based on end use. Because as a fleet operator, you would imagine, you know, the trucks may be used for transportation of eggs or plastic pipes or cotton piles to cars and now to vaccines. So finally, you know, it has kind of come to a stage where even a truck manufacturer is looking at selling what the end customer wants. And the second example, as I gave you, is the harvesting as a service. A farmer today, you know, may be farming in a very small-sized land or a mid-sized land. The terrains may vary. The crops harvested may vary. And hence, the OEM, the agri-equipment manufacturer, is trying to provide an end-to-end solution to the farmer in this case. And these harvesters can be fitted with sensors to ensure, you know, optimal usage. And they end up providing the right solution that is acceptable to the farmers. So this automated feedback loop also, you know, ensures that they can identify bottlenecks during each customer interaction. And they can actually feed it back to their R&D department to better design and innovate products.
Right. And all this is that much more relevant today, right? In the era that we live in, the global pandemic, which has changed the way we do things. In that context also, is it that much more relevant today or will it slow down a little bit?
No, Abhishek, I think you touched upon a very important point. So I believe there are three important reasons as to why intelligent industry now. Okay, the first one is the multitude of technologies, what we call as information technology and operations technology. Information technology is the regular mobile apps and the ERP systems that we have had. Operations technology is the IoTs and sensors that are actually kind of closer to the machines. Today, there is a true acceleration and adoption of these two technologies by consumers. And there is a convergence that has happened, be it artificial intelligence, voice recognition, 5G, cloud or edge computing, there is maturity, acceleration, and convergence of technology that has happened. That is number one. Second, this has resulted in the ability to servitize everything and create more value in the ecosystem, okay, which was not feasible a few years back. And thirdly, there is tremendous amount of competition as well as collaboration happening across all industries. Okay, let us take our example closer to home. A Reliance Jio, we don't know whether to call that as a retail company or a banking company or a telecom company. They've really kind of converged. The industry lines are blurring. Okay, in Capgemini's case, we recently created a healthcare ecosystem in Europe, which actually kind of comprised of Sanofi, Capgemini, Generali, and Orange. Four players from different parts of the industry sectors to provide a comprehensive solution to the end consumer, in this case, a patient. Likewise, in the automotive world, mobility as a service has kind of clearly picked up. You have the CASE paradigm, which is nothing but connected, autonomous, shared, and electrified vehicles. That is bringing in completely outside players that one would not have imagined. They are actually kind of challenging the large established car manufacturers, right? So with all these three things, the environment changing, the macro trends changing, I truly believe intelligent industry paradigm is now on here.
Again, just taking a thread, there was a time when there used to be a shop, people would come and buy, whether it was a soap or a piano, from that department store. But now e-commerce has gone to a different level where it can even predict what you might buy next, or also offer you what others have bought, which also is about 7 years old. So things are indeed changing at a fast clip. Any other examples that come to mind in addition to the ones that you offered?
You know, when we talk about the seamless confluence of information technology and operations technology. Okay, this is everywhere today, from what I call as a beating heart to a flying airplane. Okay, so let us talk about the healthcare space. Capgemini was involved in the design of a connected pacemaker. Pacemaker has been around for decades. But what we have done is, you know, make it connected to the patient's mobile app. Okay, which continuously in turn shares real-time parameters about the health of the patient to the physicians, and then finally to the drug manufacturers themselves, because they know how their drug is acting on the patient. This enables a complete closed-loop monitoring. The immediate thing that happens is, you know, the physician intervening appropriately to help the patient in real time. So this is a fantastic example in the healthcare space. Talking about the flying airplane, you know, we also worked with an aircraft manufacturer to create something called the connected airplane platform. The intent was to provide a service to the airline operators like IndiGo, for example, to optimize their operating costs. It's not about the aircraft manufacturer selling an aircraft and providing maintenance, but also, look at it from the shoes of the airline operators, and airline operations are fairly costly, I would say, and the margins are very thin. So the intent of this connected airplane platform is to help optimize the operating cost of the airline operators, right? So these are two examples I could think of where there is absolutely seamless confluence of information technology and operations technology.
Right. In fact, airlines can go to some crazy lengths to save costs. Even the paint that they use on the exterior of the airline, they'll determine what quality or what material should be used based on whether or not it adds to the aerodynamic drag. Even if there's a marginal saving that they can do, or even the carpet that they lay on the floor, or the quality of seats that they take. So yes, every 2 kilos that gets added on an aircraft consumes X liters of fuel, which translates to a lot of money. I think when it comes to costs, the example that you offered is quite pertinent. So where do you see intelligent industry evolve over time? It's obviously not a new concept.
Yeah, the evolution to me sounds very exciting, Abhishek. Okay, why I say this is, you know, intelligent industry is all about bringing the physical and digital worlds closer together. To give you a feedback loop in the form of actions, either automatic or through manual intervention. So this is a very broad English definition. We call this as a closed loop enterprise. And I'll provide a simple example. There are three dimensions to this closed loop enterprise. First is digital inside. We see sensors and software are embedded in every product today, be it machinery or end consumer products, and hence they have the ability to sense and transmit data. That is number one. The second is a digital continuity. Imagine a water pipeline network crisscrossing the city like Bangalore. If it has an equivalent virtual model with the ability to depict hotspots in terms of leakages or high pressure. Imagine what we could do. So, and hence there is a clear continuity between the virtual model and the physical network. So this is sometimes called as the digital twin. And the third is the digital convergence. Extending the same example, imagine there is a leakage in part of the pipeline. And if this sensor can actually automatically create a service request in the ERP system, which is an IT side of things, and a service engineer could be dispatched to the specific location, and he or she can be enabled through a guided repair using a mobile app that has a digital twin of that part of the network. This is the digital convergence that is happening. So truly what is happening is, you know, the digital insight, digital continuity and digital convergence. This is the way the industry, intelligent industry is evolving, Abhishek.
And that is how you see that even end consumers and enterprises, they will benefit from all of this.
Absolutely, Abhishek. I think let us talk about the consumers. Consumers, I think they can possibly get the super personalization, hyper personalization, and they can get unique experience in terms of what they truly want. Okay, that is from an end consumer standpoint. The second is from an enterprise perspective. Every enterprise wants to be agile, efficient, and sustainable. And this intelligent industry paradigm brings in the right kind of technologies and business use cases for the enterprises to, you know, benefit and achieve these three goals that they have. The third is the creation of new value through innovative business and revenue models. Okay, I'll give you an example. A local India truck manufacturer, they were actually trying to figure out how to increase their spare parts revenue, because a lot of spurious spare parts were sold in the local repair shops. Their business problem was, how do I quadruple my spare part revenue? So they created a marketplace to bring together fleet operators, drivers, mechanics, and retailers. Okay, so imagine a truck that has broken down on a highway. The driver could be using an Uber-like app to figure out a nearby mechanic who comes to the truck and figures out through a mobile app what exactly is the problem with the truck, because there is e-diagnostics that is possible. And he orders, you know, the spare parts from a nearby retailer who actually delivers genuine spare parts to where the truck is standing. And voila, the truck starts running. So the fleet operators gets the best return on assets. The driver gets a hassle-free, service. Mechanics get jobs from where they are at home. And retailers get to sell more spare parts. And the OEMs gets to ensure the genuine spare parts are put back in their trucks. So this is the sort of new business models that are emerging in this today's industry. This intelligent industry can bring in tremendous amount of value across the value chain in any industry that you take.
Hmm. And on the customer side, you made a reference to hyper-personalization and, quote, creating a unique experience, unquote. How would you describe that, if you could offer a couple of examples in that regard?
Sure, Abhishek. You know, I'll probably, again, refer back to healthcare. You know, every human body is different. And we are all aware of the advances in gene therapy that is happening. Okay. But I'll give an easier example of medicine delivery that is personalized. Okay. Yeah, diabetic patient. Earlier, what used to happen was, it was a dosage-based medicine delivery. Irrespective of the individual, you kind of take that medicine morning, afternoon, evening, after lunch, after a meal. Now is the time to ensure that the delivery of medicine to your body happens based on your body parameters. So the time and rate of flow of the medicine can be actually kind of really customized through certain injectable devices that Capgemini has designed for quite a few pharma companies. So by this, what we are trying to do is, we are assisting the patient, first of all, to get the right dosage of medicine. Secondly, we are also assisting physician in the right decision making, because all this data is, of course, it is possible for you to take it to cloud and do a lot of analytics. Ultimately, we are talking about a scenario where an automated delivery of medicine in real time is possible. So this is the sort of hyper-personalization that one would imagine. And the time is not very far away, I think, Abhishek.
Indeed. And in the interest of time, the last one, Anant, is intelligent industry is no longer just a jargon, the way you describe it. Is it that clients that you deal with, how is it on their side? If you were to step into their shoes, are they embracing it wholeheartedly? or is it more like given the competition and given the disruptions that occur in any industry because of technology that they don't have a choice anymore?
Abhishek, you are spot on with your choice of words. I think they won't have a choice. Victor Hugo's quote comes to my mind. No force on earth can stop an idea whose time has come. And I believe that holds good for intelligent industry. And I have been enamored by, you know, Yuval Harari's books, Sapiens and Homo Deus. Okay, especially in Homo Deus, you look at the possibility of a full-blown digital twin of a human to come up during sometime during the century itself. If that is the kind of technology evolution we are talking about, I guess inanimate machines or gadgets could be brought to that level very quickly. And hence, the intelligent industry paradigm is far more closer to us than what we think. And hence, the enterprises don't have a choice but to embrace and adopt it more and more.
On that optimistic note, Anant, thank you very much for your time on this podcast.
Thank you very much, Abhishek.
Thank you. And this was Forbes India Tech for Sustainable Future series powered by Capgemini. You can find this podcast on ForbesIndia.com as well as on any of your podcasting sources, whether it be Spotify, Stitcher, iTunes, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts. Thank you very much.